So praise the Lord. Welcome to the Gifts of the Spirit Ministries Fellowship. And I want to talk about a great mystery, and the mystery for you might have been when you walked through the doors and you read that, and you wonder, well, where in the world did a name like that come from? So I'm getting the term, it's a great mystery, from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, and that section of Ephesians is talking about how we relate with each other. It's talking about children, it's talking about workers and slaves and husbands and wives, and the great mystery about a married couple is falling in love is easy enough. You get married, but how do you stay in love for the rest of your life? That's a mystery that not everybody has discovered. But a marriage is, and Paul goes on, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And so when you see that name, welcome to the gifts of the Spirit. And so I want to start off with that name. Well, first of all, read that, the great mystery, but you start off with that name. And why would you come to a little place like this with an awkward name like that out in the middle of nowhere when we got all these big churches that we could go to? And a lot of us had gone to those big churches, and we come here and we fellowship together. But on the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And that whole chapter, I want to look at the chapters, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, and I'm not going to read it all, but that chapter 12, verse 1 starts with concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And without reading all of chapter 12, I want to kind of skip over and go to the end of chapter 12. And it talks in verse 30, have all gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret it? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I would show unto you a more excellent way. And that leads us right into chapter 13, verse 1, if you want to bring that up. I might actually turn on my laptop and look myself. That more excellent way is what I want to focus on, because the name of the church, Gifts of the Spirit Ministries, and then the next word is fellowship. And I want to talk about the family fellowships, because that is a more excellent way. We love the gifts of the Spirit. We love seeing people get healed. We love to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. But I present you with a more excellent way. And as great as gifts, as the gift of healing is, a more excellent way is divine health. Divine healing is great. Divine health is even better. It's even better if you don't get into an accident. You don't get into a car accident. You don't trip and fall. A better way is to be surrounded by these angels that follow us. And you've heard me say a few times that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's learning the secret of of walking in divine health, walking in divine prosperity, walking in the mercy of God, walking in prosperity, walking and learning how to walk in all these different ways. And I thank God for Chris and his teaching on the kingdom of God, because that's something I learned 30 years or more, maybe 40, I don't know, that the kingdom of God, so you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, go in the Old Testament, and you learn what life is like when God blesses you. And it's a blessing to learn how to walk in the blessing. It's a blessing to learn how to walk in prosperity. It's a blessing to learn how to live in divine health. It's a more excellent way of living. And a more excellent way of living is how to walk in love. So when you come through that door and you see that name, welcome to the Gifts of the Spirit Ministries Fellowship. That last word is fellowship. And it's a great mystery and how that name came about, but I love the name because that's what this church is all about. That's the vision that Keith and Debbie had when they formed this church, when they stepped out in faith and they bought this place, that it would be a place where the gifts of the Spirit could move freely, where there would be fellowship, where there would be love for one another, where it'd be love, where a husband and a wife can learn to love each other for the rest of their lives. And that's a great mystery, learning how to love each other. So I'm kind of getting away from my notes a little bit, but it might be good for us just to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I think I mentioned how odd it is that chapter 14 is a continuation of chapter 12 on the gifts of the Spirit. And it just, chapter 13, the love chapter, just kind of interrupts that whole flow of things in the gifts of the Spirit, because we've got this love chapter that just interrupts it all. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, and actually I might switch my from King James into something that uses the word love, but so if I speak with human or angelic languages that do not have love, I am like a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so I can move mountains and do not have love, I am nothing. And love is so important. And learning to love, and it's a great mystery because we all, most of us have fallen in love and gotten married. And the great mystery is, how do you stay in love for the rest of your life and stay married? And it's a great mystery. So we can have all faith so that we can move mountains and do not have love. I am nothing. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor and give my body in order to boast, but I do not have love, I have gained nothing. And there's churches out there, ministries out there that have focused on giving to the poor. They have focused on ministering to the homeless. They've focused on all these things, giving them. But I tell you, if we don't learn how to love each other, it's nothing. If we don't learn how to love our spouse, it's nothing. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. And just learning how to be patient with each other, being kind to each other, is a great mystery. And love does not envy. Love is not boastful. It is not conceited. Love does not act inappropriately. Is not selfish. Is not easily provoked. And that is not easily provoked in chapter 5. That is probably one of the biggest mysteries, is to come with a group of the other people and get to the place where you're not provoked. You can't be offended. You can live with each other and not be offended. And chapter 5, oops, no. Yeah, chapter 5, or verse 5, I'm sorry. Does not act improperly and is not selfish, is not provoked, and does not keep a record of wrongs. And when you can walk away from somebody that's done you wrong, walk away from somebody that has said something that shouldn't ought to have said, and you don't remember it, you're not keeping a record of it, you're not holding a grudge. Verse 6, love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. And the world enjoys seeing other people fail. The world laughs. They find humor and laughter when someone else fails and someone else does wrong. But they rejoice in the truth. So love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. And verse 8, love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. And that's amazing, because we love prophecy. We love speaking these words and having prophets. We look at prophets, and we've even printed out the prophecies of some prophets, and we pass them around, and there's nothing wrong with that. But these prophecies end. For verse 9, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. And that verse 10 is something I kind of want to touch on just briefly, because there's about two-thirds of the churches teach a false teaching, and that's that the gifts of the Spirit were sign gifts that ended when the apostles died off. And it's a false teaching, and it has hurt so many people, and it's called division and strife in the church. But when that which is perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. And what I want to tell you today is that it's about love. When we learn to love each other, whether it's a husband and a wife loving each other and staying married the rest of their life, or if it's just two people loving each other, and when that love comes, that which is perfect or partial will come to an end. And that was one of the first debates I had working in a workplace. I worked with some Baptists, and they were students, like I was a student, and students loved to debate. Students haven't learned how to love yet, but they've learned to love a good debate. And so that was one of the first things that brought up with me. Well, the gifts of the Spirit came to an end when the apostles died out. And I'm thankful that when that which is perfect came, and that is learning about love. And that's one of the secrets of the family fellowships, which is the last word in that name, is fellowship. Is when you learn to fellowship with each other, then that which is perfect comes, and then we learn to love each other. And that's such an important thing. And verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see it indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. And there's about two-thirds of the church, they read the same scriptures that we're reading, and they do away with the gifts of the Spirit. And I bring to you that that's why the name of the church is what it is. It's Gifts of the Spirit Ministries Fellowship. And if we can get a hold of that, that, yeah, the gifts of the Spirit are so important, but the fellowship is even more important. Learning to love. Learning to love your spouse. Learning to love the person you pick up in the morning to take to church. Learning to love the lost. Learning to love others out that we run across in. And it's that love that we have for others. And teaching those how to love, and teaching how to love, and teaching how to act, and teaching how to be a loving Christian in a fellowship. So verse 12, for now we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am known. And the last verse, verse 13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And now I want to go look at my notes. 1 John 1:4 to 10. Now, what I like about the Apostle John is that he got a revelation about Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul got a revelation of the gospel of grace for the Gentiles, and they're the only two apostles that got a revelation from Jesus. So, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, and these things I write unto you, that your joy may be full. And this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in light, we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so when we walk in fellowship one with another, we learn how to love. We learn that our sins are forgiven. And that's probably the most important about the family fellowships, is learning how to walk in love, learning how to walk in fellowship. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's verse 9. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in him. Then 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I want to talk about love. I know Sarah talked about once, and I've talked along that similar line, that we need to look at what it is we love. We need to look at what we want. We need to look at what our desires are. What is it that we desire? And I mentioned a couple of weeks about just loving this technology, loving our cell phones, loving our laptop, loving the computers, loving social media. We got to be careful what it is we love. We got to be careful about what we want. We got to be careful about what we desire. Because they're in verse 15, John, 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And to love, to learn to love and to learn to fellowship with each other is to learn the love of the Father. And I've mentioned that before. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And the Apostle John got that from Jesus Christ himself, walking with him and learning to love one another. Now, I've been reading about the life of John Lake, and I'm pretty slow. John Lake had hundreds of thousands of people healed in his ministry. In Spokane, Washington alone, there was over 100,000 healed. He went to South Africa and had hundreds of thousands healed there in South Africa. And the great mystery I want to talk to you about is what happened in Spokane, Washington 100 years ago. With hundreds of thousands of people of being healed, the dead being raised to life, and all these miracles happening, and John Lake was just physically wore out praying for people. And John Kilpatrick in the miracles and the revival down there in Florida, I got one of his tapes, and what he talked about, it was physically exhausting to do that kind of ministry. And that's what happened to John Lake. It was physically exhausting praying for that many people. And so John Lake took a year or two off from Spokane, Washington. And this just blows me away when I I've read this several times in that book. When he came back, he found that they had built a beautiful church, and the church was thriving. The church was running well. They had it set up well, but nobody could be healed. He tried to lay hands on people and heal them. Because he was the great John Lake. He came back. Hundreds of thousands of people had been healed in his ministry. He came back to that big, beautiful church that they had built. And he said, they didn't have enough faith to live a normal life, let alone be healed. And I don't think John Lake fully ever did figure out what happened. But he said their lives were a wreck. In other words, they had become normal. And it's normal for people sitting in a pew of a church to have a life that's a wreck. It's a normal for them to go to church and not be healed. And that church in Spokane, Washington, 100 years ago, just became normal. And I really want to talk about that, because I'm afraid we've become normal. It's normal to come to church not being healed and leaving church the same way you came. And it was normal. I remember here a few years ago, a lady had found out what was going on here, and she came here for healing. And she traveled. She got on a bus and traveled a long way to come here. And I'm sad to say that she left the same way she came. And shame on us. Shame on me. Because she left the same way that she came. And that's what happened in Spokane, Washington, after they had built a big, beautiful church. They lived a normal life. Their lives were a wreck. And the more excellent way that the Apostle Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 5 is learning how to treat each other. Learning how husbands and wives can fall in love and live with each other and stay married and stay loving to each other for the rest of their lives. That's a great mystery. It's a great mystery, speaking of Christ and the church, and that mystery is love. Love in a church without lust. How can you love each other and not lust after each other? And it's a great mystery. And that first part of that mystery, and this is, now I'm reading my notes. The first mystery is learning that lust isn't love. So a couple fall in love, they get married, and then life happens and babies comes. And love and marriage becomes difficult. And so what does this have to do with Jesus? And I don't think I have the scripture reference, but Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. If you can look that up real quick. And there's a time when there was an abundance of church in the family, and life was abundant. And I'm kind of wondering if that's back when there was love in the church, because big families came to church. It's been my observation that when you got a small family, especially a single mother with one child, that narcissism is a result rather than love. You learn how to become narcissistic. And I think there's something about large families, where a large family, you just don't have time for selfishness. You don't have time for holding a grudge in a large family. And when you get a large family coming to a big church, I think it works. I think the church works. The family works. Because I don't understand big churches. I really don't. Because it's been a puzzle to me, and I think most of the people in this church are here because there's plenty of big churches we could be going to. But we've chosen not to go to a big church. And I think the secret is in the name on the church door when we walk through that door. It's gifts of the Spirit, ministries, fellowship. Or it's gifts of the Spirit moving freely, however you want to read it. But it's learning how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And it's learning how to love each other enough to fellowship. And the vision that Keith had was that the gifts of the Spirit would move freely in the fellowship, and that we would learn how to love each other in the fellowship. And going to church here on Sunday morning, that's good. But what's even better is learning to love each other, husband and wife loving each other and staying married the rest of their lives, learning to love each other in the fellowship, and learning to teach each other in the family fellowships how to love each other and how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit and how to love each other to the point where you just can't remember what the other person did wrong. You learn and forgetting about the wrongs that others have done, and learning to walk in love with each other. So I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. The first thing that I loved about this church is chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because chapter 14 is a continuation of chapter 12, but it teaches us how to move in the gifts of the Spirit in a fellowship. And this is the only church that I've ever come to where the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 14 operate. And one of those things is just when we pass around the microphone to each other and we want to find out what the Lord is speaking to each one of us. And that is the more excellent way of life, is when those gifts of the Spirit operate in fellowship. And now I got to go back to my notes. Oh yeah, I remember Revelation chapter 2 verse 1 through 4. And this kind of blew me away when I saw it, because the Spirit given the letters to the churches and had this to say about Ephesus. And here's Ephesus is the one that that the mystery of Christ and the church was given to. So they had learned the mystery. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, "And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patient, and how thou canst bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not failed." And I want to go back to in verse 2, "And how thou canst bear them which are evil." And going back to what Sarah taught here a couple of weeks ago and what I taught, do you love evil? Do you turn on the television? Do you love evil? When you turn on Facebook, do you love evil? Is there something about the things of the world that you hate? Or have you gotten to the place where you love it? And I got to confess that I've been there. I've loved some of the things I've seen on Facebook, and I've caught myself loving some of the things on social media. And I've got that love-hate relationship with my cell phone, with my laptop. And I want the hatred of evil to increase in me. And I want to start to love the good and hate the evil. That's an area that I need to repent of, to be honest with you. But then verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And so the great mystery, to me, that's interesting, is how people are to interact with each other, how families are supposed to function together. And Paul's epistle to the Ephesian church, and then Jesus talks about those Ephesians losing their first love in the book of Revelations. And I think every one of us need to examine ourselves and our marriages and what's going on in our marriages between our spouses. And what? Why do we mistreat each other in marriages and then end up divorced? And that's a mystery. And John Lake says about the lives of those who in Spokane, and their lives had become a wreck. And isn't the love of those people in Spokane that had grown cold? Is it the love of those people to where the gifts of the Spirit were operating, but you lose sight of loving God and each other? And the first commandment that Jesus talked about is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your selves. Then the second one is loving your neighbor as yourself. And this is absolutely the most important command that you can learn to love, is learning to love God first. And when we go into our fellowships, that's what we need to be reminding each other, to love God first with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself, and encouraging married couples to continue in that love, continue to love God first. So I want you to look what happens in a big church. So you got a big church, and you got a platform, and you put a faith healer on that platform. He gets up on that podium. The people sit down below him in the pews. And if the people want to get healed, they're going to climb up those stairs to that platform so they can see this great faith healer. What I like about this church here is that room over there to the side where we got the couches in a circle. And we sit in the circle. And we're all equal. And it's not the great faith healer. It's the love that we have one for another. So to me, the more excellent way is love in the family living room, surrounded by loving family and friends. And 1 John 1:6-7, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk with darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses me. And we're cleansed from our sins by the fellowship of our love one with another in the family fellowships. And I'm not following my notes very well. And we have fellowship one with another. And there's a mystery of how love affects our souls. And so now I've gotten away from my notes here. Yeah, verse 7. I keep going back to verse 7. You have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all of our sins. And I want to talk a little bit about isolated people who are lonely people. And there's a tendency in the world to put our parents in a nursing home and then just forget them there. Thank God I hadn't have to go through that. My parents all had good minds when they died, and they never needed to go into a nursing home. But there's a lot of lonely people out here. We all know lonely people. And it's tough to grow old when you're alone. And to love God is to love lonely people. And our family fellowships should be a loving sanctuary for all people, including the lonely people. And we all know lonely people, and what happens when you get around them? They talk too much. And we got to be ready for that. We got to be ready for that. And we need to learn how to love someone who talks too much. But the reason why they talk too much is because they're lonely. They've been abandoned. And we need to learn how to love with people that have been abandoned and they talk too much. And I don't have a good answer. I wish I could tell you how to solve that problem, because I don't like it any more than you do. And you laugh and you chuckle a little bit because we've all been there. But lonely people need the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be welcomed into our family fellowships. And one of the things on James, or I'm sorry, with John Lake, and I don't know if I'm going to get into it, but he did such a fantastic job of explaining what the gift of healing is actually like. And in a nutshell, he says the gift of healing is what happened when that woman was healed by touching the hem of the garment of Jesus. The Apostle Paul had the gift of healing, and they took pieces of cloth and they put it on Paul, and they take that cloth and took it out, and people were healed by that cloth. There's a healing virtue in the gift of healing that I don't think any of us has ever seen, because the gift of healing is different than what most of us have experienced. And what John Lake says, that there's a healing virtue to where even the shadow of Peter was enough for people to get healed. And it's a healing virtue. I want to see it operating in this place. But it's a little bit different than the gift, or I don't even want to use the gift of healing, because healing, there's another healing takes place when you understand the authority of the believer, when you understand how to speak healing into someone. And part of the laying on hands, what typically happens in a church like this is what happens in James chapter 5, verse 13. And it's the authority of being able to speak the word into someone's life. That's a healing that's a little bit different than the gift of healing that Jesus had. So James chapter 5, verse 13, and I really like this, because our family fellowships need to be like this, because you don't have to have the gift of healing. There's a more excellent way of living, and that's love. James 5, chapter 5, verse 13, is any among you sick or afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and they will pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. We've made a religion out of that. So we got to have a church like this. We got to sit in rows like this. You got to sit behind a podium. You got to have a microphone or a speaker. They didn't have any of this in that early church. So when James is talking about the prayer of faith and calling for the elders of the church, they went house to house. They were under persecution. They didn't have the luxury of a church building. And so when you call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Think of the family fellowships. Think of that, the couches over there. Think of the people gathering in a circle. There's not one that dominated the others. That prayer of faith is anybody. Anybody. I'm old. There's a lot of old people in here. It doesn't have to be someone sitting up here in a podium. It can be over there in those couches in a circle. It can be in that family fellowship in the living room. So the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And I want to catch that, because that's not the only place where healing the sick and saving the soul go hand in hand with each other. You can go to Isaiah chapter 53, the first, five verses in chapter 3, and see the same thing. I'm not going to read that right now. It wouldn't hurt to go over that again. But there's something about healing and being saved that are one and the same. It's the same thing. Getting saved is getting healed. Getting healed is getting saved. And there's other scriptures I can bring out, and I might even have them in my notes. But it says, confess your faults in verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's something about confessing your faults one to another, that has everything to do with loving one another. It has everything to do with being humble. It takes a lot of humility to confess your faults one to another. And don't you ever, ever go out and gossip about that person that opened up their heart to you. That's a sacred thing. When someone opens up their life to you and confesses their faults to you, please, I beg you, don't ever go gossip. Because there's so much power in there. There's so much love in there. There's so much humility in there. And I think that's the healing. That's the more excellent way that the Apostle Paul talked about, where you just love each other. You just love each other. And you become healed, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And verse 17, and that was really amazing, but how do you make that transition to verse 17? How can you be talking about healing and sins, and then all of a sudden 17 pops up, and Elias was a man subject unto like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And God is no respecter of persons. You may think you're not worthy to pray for somebody, but verse 17 says we're no different than Elijah. Elijah had problems too. And Elijah prayed, and his prayers were answered. And we need to get into those family fellowships and realize that we're all equal. God is no respecter of persons. Anybody can lay hands on someone and pray for them. It'd be great if you had the gift of healing. I'd be so excited to find that we had the gift of healing. But we can just stand on James chapter 5, verse 16. And the power of Elijah can be in our family fellowships. If we understood that God is no respecter of persons, we're all equal in the sight of God. And we know the story of the drought that was in there, and Elijah was a fantastic example. And verse 9 says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and convert him. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save the soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And I want you to grab onto that, if anything, that we can come into a family fellowship with a multitude of sins. And not only can we can be healed, but those sins can be forgiven. And do you see how the fellowship of the believers getting together in a living room can result in both healing and forgiveness? And James 5, verse 15, and 1 John 1, 7, they both kind of talk about that, where healing and forgiveness go hand in hand. It's a package deal. You see in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 through 5, healing and forgiveness are practically one on the same. And I don't think I have the scripture, but Jesus said, well, what's easier? Saying, pick up your bed and walk, or be healed, or your sins forgiven. It's all the same. And if we ever get the secret of that, that healing, forgiveness, salvation are all the same. And we act like it's two separate things, like you can only get healed if you can find a faith healer. And what I'm saying is our healing is right there. It's in the living room. It's sitting in those couches. It's not all in this guy with a microphone and a speaker and a podium. And this is somewhat deceptive. But anyway, I'm not going to wander off. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And that's a great mystery, that great mystery of love, the great mystery of love and spouses and marriages and the mystery is why we've got that name on the front of the church, in case you were wondering. Because I kind of wondered about that name. And I'll have to be honest, it took me a while to figure it out. The vision that Keith had didn't come all at once. And I hope we have all latched onto that mystery. We're kind of just family here. So if you got something you want to say, that's great. However you want to handle it, maybe Karen, maybe you can just take over.
The name Gifts of the Spirit Ministries Fellowship came from a dear friend of ours that was in the ministry when we first started. And Marcia prayed and prayed and prayed, and the Lord told her, we'll call it what it is, Gifts of the Spirit Ministries Fellowship. The Lord gave it to her, that she gave it to us.
So how did the God's moving freely?
Wasn't it because Apostle kept saying, why is it Gifts of the Spirit Ministries Fellowship? And he goes, call it GSMF. God's Spirit moving freely. That's where it came from. So it came to one person. Then he's like, that doesn't make any sense. And so he gave him a little extra there. Yeah. So that's why it is GSMF, God's Spirit moving freely.
That's good. That moves perfectly. That's just perfect. You're right. It is. It's perfect. Because that's what this place is all about. Training up and moving in our gifts. Moving, God freely being able to move through us, because if we don't let him move through us, he will not move through us. I always can't think of his name, Benny Hinn. He wrote the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And in there he said, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will back off if you back off. if you don't allow him to come in, he will back off. And we have to constantly remember that. We have to constantly keep that in our mind that we can't back off. There are too many people out there today that need us to be in good condition, even or as even is, because God can work through anything. He worked through a donkey. I'm trying to remember. He worked through a donkey. If he can work through a donkey, we're a little bit better than that. But it is, you know, your message is right on today. It was right on. It's what we needed to hear today. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you give us what we actually need. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes it's like, okay, I got to figure this out. And sometimes it just flows. It just flows, and it's like, we know that's what was supposed to be spoken today. That's why the car wouldn't start, because I know what Keith was going to talk about today. And I think it'll be great to follow later. So we just thank you, Father, for this day. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence ever among us. And I just ask you, Father, to bless everyone in here and just protect them and keep them safe throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen.